it all to Thunderdome.
Sunday. At the Apocalypse Video Store, all summer long, Martin Hofana presents the second-hand Hot Day
Summer Film Fest.
Featuring live performances by the Keanu Mir.
I want room service!
Sandra Bullet Train. With special appearance by
the Swayzosaurus Rex.
Tickets for the whole seat, only 5 bottle caps, but you'll only need the egg. There are early to get a coupon for free, unlimited Mountain Dew Live Wire. Be there or be dead. And now, back by popular demand, it's the Swayzosaurus Rex. And he's taking off his most powerful foe yet. So, get your PKE meters and turn on your pottery wheels. It's go!
I'm just afraid I'm gonna lose it.
I really love you.
What do you want?
Somebody help us!
What's happening?
It's like I think about you every minute. It's like I can still feel you.
The problem with you is you still think you're real. It's all up here now. You want to move something, you got to move it with your mind.
Molly, why can't you hear me?
Who is that?
You can hear me? Can you hear me? Sam Wheat. Say my name. Say it.
Leave me alone.
Say my name. Sam. Say it. Say it.
Hello? I got a message from Sam.
What?
Sam Wheat? He asked me to call. Once you go to police, he said it was a setup. He was murdered.
She said Sam knew who killed him.
Are you out of your mind? I mean, what are you going to tell the police?
She knew things, private things.
I know about the green underwear that you wrote your name on.
Now, this psychic woman's got a record that goes back a long way.
Don't you see? I'm not a fake.
I don't know what's real anymore.
Don't open him. Don't open the damn door. He's a murderer.
Why are you doing this to me? You hear me? Why are you doing this to me?
Sam's dead.
Tell
her I love her.
He says he loves you. Sam would never say that.
You gotta take all your anger, all your love, all your hate, and then let it explode.
Molly?
Molly, you in danger, girl.
Apocalypse Video Podcast.
This will make me cry too, so like don't be ready.
Listeners, you can't see it out there, but Dave is making some beautiful pottery.
Oh, just gorgeous. Very erotic.
Very different from our intro, which is very heavy metal, explosions.
We're gonna take it down slow.
Yeah, we're dimming the lights in the Thunderdome for this one.
It's late. Put on a candle, our records. Yeah. Take your shirt off.
Oh, yes. Everyone in the audience, take your shirts off. We're talking about ghosts.
Everyone at the Monster Truck Rally, let's get intimate.
If you look under your seats, you will find some pottery.
Well, I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again, of course, by Jackie.
I was just going to think of something clever, but hi.
I'm also joined by Mike.
Do you like trains?
Damn it. I should have said you like trains.
It's funny you say that. Joining us, you can usually find her haunting the old abandoned subway system in the wasteland, Kara.
I know you didn't think I'm giving $4 million to a bunch of nuns.
Returning to the Thunderdome, Kara, for another Swayze-thon.
I've gone Swayze crazy.
You're all so crazy for Swayze.
1990s Ghost. To give a little background to this movie, so first off, how many people on this podcast, is this their first, anyone's first time seeing Ghost?
I think this might only be me. Yeah. I might be the only first timer here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, to give a little context, Ghost, now I'm sure there have been many.
So a ghost is when someone dies.
So what if there was a ghost?
Yeah, I've actually never heard of the concept of a ghost.
Okay, well, you know when people like die and they like they perish, their mortal body, you've seen that, right?
No? Oh, I've seen a lot of that.
Oh, okay, cool. Well,
well, so to give some context to Ghost, Ghost came out in 1990, which, like, I was thinking back, I'm like, what other big movies came out in 1990? And I was having trouble until I looked it up on the Chattopedia. There was actually a lot of big movies that came out in 1990. Oh. This was the year of Die Hard 2, my favorite movie of all time, Total Recall, Pretty Woman, which we've discussed on this podcast
before. It's the 90s, baby.
But it's still kind of the 80s. Like, movies. Like,
vibes.
Gun to my head, I would have said Total Recall was an 80s movie.
I would have said that, too. For some reason, I thought of Ghost as, like, more mid-90s, even.
But it's
90
Wolves
on the mark.
Home Alone is probably one of the biggest movies of this.
The wow. 90s movie, yeah.
And of course, Ghost. And out of that list, you might not think it, but Ghost was the highest grossing movie domestically of this bunch.
You know what? I do believe that, because this is the kind of thing that I think we'll get into in a little bit. Just like, this movie does not exist. It's a corny, sincere movie for grown-ups. And it's sexy and it's sad.
This movie is basically the Titanic of 1990.
Yeah.
We should just say real quick, since you're mentioning how well it did, budget $23 million, box office $500 million.
Woo! We were all crazy for Swayze.
This feels like a movie that probably had repeat viewings.
Kara, were you responsible for $250 million of that $500 million?
Yes, I was actually. You know, you might not know, I did time travel around a little bit before I started haunting the subway.
Oh,
and I saw Ghost 200 million times.
Wow. That's impressive.
Yeah.
So I this is my first time, but what's everyone else's history? Dave, what is your history with Ghost?
I can't really remember. I mean, it would have been something I watched either on TV or caught it on video.
This one I feel like was on cable a lot, kind of.
Yeah,
it was a good kind of throw it on.
Well, Jackie was saying that she saw it quite a bit with her mom watching on cable, and I remember my mom watching it on cable too, but I didn't, you know, whereas Jackie probably was like, oh yeah, let's watch Ghost. I was probably like, Ghost, and walked away and
See, that's
else.
The thing. I feel like my earliest memory of this movie is seeing, must have been on TV, seeing one of the guys at the end dragged away by the demon things from hell. And I think that captured my imagination as a kid and
of
probably
course.
Made
Definitely.
Me want to watch it.
That's
the thing that drew me in.
That's a big element of when, you know, I'd see this as a kid because like my mom had it on. I wasn't really interested in the romance of it then, but I thought of this as like a really scary movie because of the shadowy guys, which are so, you know, obviously like it's limited technology and it's kind of goofy, but that really scared me.
And train guy.
And the train ghost, who is legitimately creepy in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're a kid, just the idea of like a scary guy coming and screaming in your face, like that's scary.
Yeah.
What about you, Kara? What's your history with Ghosts?
I think I must have seen it. Another great thing that came out in 1990 was me. That's when I was born. So I think I must
Big
have
year.
Seen
Big year.
Little bits and pieces of it. And then maybe when I was a little bit later in life, I saw it once through. But I haven't seen it in a very long time.
Oh. Well, first off, I just have to apologize. I know we're watching the movie in an arena setup, and so the sound kind of has like an echo effect. It's not the most ideal environment to watch a movie. Monster Truck Rally, yes, but a movie, it kind of echoes. It's kind of crappy sound.
But that works with the theme, because you know how ghosts are always like moaning and groaning and echoing. So I think it was quite cinematic that way.
Mental note, close the dome for the next movie we watch. Anyway, yeah, Ghost, you mentioned that this movie is scary. Right from the beginning, something I forgot about, when it starts, you know, it's kind of a whiplash effect, because the movie starts a Jerry Zucker film. Now, if you don't know who Jerry Zucker is, he is one of the three guys responsible for Airplane and the Naked Gun series.
Don't forget Rat Race.
So you're in for a laugh a minute.
So you're just like, Airplane guy, what the? But then immediately after that credit leaves the screen, the music turns legit scary and it's just ghost. And you get these images of like, you know, the camera's panning through this old deserted looking house. You're like, is this a haunted house movie? Is this where this movie is?
And then it's like the three sledgehammers coming in like.
Yes. And then we're treated to not one, but two shirtless hunks. Patrick
and
Swayze.
Demi
and Tony
Moore
Goldblum.
in the overalls. Also a hunk. Yeah.
Which is basically her main costume throughout the movie.
She's wearing, all of them hunks. I so appreciate that they're like, they're covered in dust. They're wearing, you know, like some masks over their mouths or anything. But the two dudes are just like, hey, let's break down some walls.
Ab City, man.
Ab City.
I say real quick before we get into this, I thought so. I've heard of the movie Ghost, and I've seen, you know, the clips of the pottery.
Okay. I was curious if you'd seen any of the iconography.
Well, there's some iconography that's just inescapable.
Well, I guess the pottery scene in my head, I didn't remember it that well. I thought this movie I thought this movie was just straight romance. And I thought it was about...
I didn't realize there was going to be a ghost.
I thought it was about Whoopi... No, I thought there was a ghost, but I thought it was about Whoopi Goldberg's house is haunted, and she falls in love with the ghost, Patrick Swayze. Because all I knew is Whoopi Goldberg and Patrick Swayze were in it, and that there's some love between a ghost. I didn't realize there was going to be, like, a real guy who's dead. I didn't realize Demi Moore was going to be, actually...
I love that this was your idea of what this
I thought it
was
just, like, Whoopi Goldberg's in an old-timey house, and it's haunted, and she's starts falling in love with this like pottery love and ghost.
I mean,
did you not know that Demi Moore was in the movie?
No.
Oh, wow.
Okay. All of what you just said is insane. However, I would watch the movie where Whoopi Goldberg falls in love with a pottery ghost.
Agreed. Yes. Can we have the movie, please?
Make it today. Oh my God. I didn't realize that.
So I was in for a lot of surprises with the tone of this movie, the actual romance, that he was a real guy.
Just thinking about the, like...
he was a real guy.
Like, you as a kid, your mom's just, like, casually on the couch. What are you watching? Oh, I'm watching Ghosts. And you're like, whatever. And you go off to your room, you're like, what's that about? It's Whoopi Goldberg. She's in Star Trek. She falls in love with... Anyway, time to play Pokemon. Where's my Game Boy?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
So wow, you are a treasure, Mike. Like I
he's one of a kind. Oh my God.
Well, I guess like what was your like, you know, as the movie was unfolding, like how'd you like it? I guess, just to kind of jump right in.
It was a great summer film fest movie.
When did you realize that it wasn't what you thought it was going to
be? Pretty quickly.
You're like, what, Demi Moore's here?
I mean, yeah, I mean, pretty immediately when it's like, oh, Patrick Swayze's alive, Demi Moore's like clearly the romantic lead. It's like, it's been 20 minutes and
Whoopi
Goldberg is nowhere to be seen.
A while.
Wait, so you're telling me there's no haunted house?
This house isn't even haunted. It's an apartment.
I mean, that took a minute because the house did seem kind of haunted.
I mean, it starts with they're renovating like aloft.
They have a creepy angel statue they're going to put in the bedroom.
The angel statue is very creepy and also like kind of ugly. we can get into like the Demi Moore character, or Demi Moore's character is an artist, and their whole kind of, you know, setup is very like 80s New York artist, which is kind of ugly, but like, yeah, whatever.
Apparently successful enough to be talked about by the New York Times.
Apparently too. So, but yeah. Also her boyfriend's a banker, so like it's not like she's paying for that apartment.
Yeah, but we don't see, the story we don't see is the money that Patrick Swayze is giving to all these reporters and like, journalists.
Yeah, he's doing
the
payola on the side. Well, should we go over the plot?
Mike, why don't you explain the plot now that you are newly familiar with it?
Thank God.
Yeah, so
Whoopi Goldberg buys a house.
So we open it.
It was on an ancient Indian burial ground.
She said, "I'm so excited to move into my house."
We open on the most beautiful of times, New York City, and technically the 90s. Patrick Swayze.
Harry just met Sally. They're getting married.
They're at the diner as we speak.
Somewhere off in the distance, some friends are buying a loft. So Patrick Swayze is like, he's a banker and he's bought like some big house, that is, I'm surely owned by a billionaire, in the 2020s. And he's like redecorating with his wife.
What are you talking about? New York doesn't exist anymore.
He's redecorating with his wife and
girlfriend.
Yeah. Long-term partner they're going to live together. And his best bud. Carl,
who would never do anything wrong.
Good old Carl.
Good old Carl, great friend.
Three good pals hanging out. I'm trying to think. So
there's like kind of, we're setting up like their business dealings. That Demi Moore is kind
of,
she's an artist. She's worried about.
And
like,
I'll say that's kind of one of the weird things of this movie is like the first 15-20 minutes.
It's
kind of like, what's going on here? Like, we're setting up a house. We're seeing him go to work. We're seeing that Carl's a little stinker at work.
We're seeing like between Molly and Sam, the two leads that like. Patrick Swayze, Sam is like, what does he say? You know, every time something good happens to me, like I'm waiting for something bad to happen and everything is so good right
there's
now.
There's a lot of like, hope I don't die.
Sure hope not. No one murders me. But
there's a lot of like death red herrings, like with the like you mentioned the statue, they're bringing it up on the
or
whatever. And
yeah, like, oh, something might fall out of a window, something might do this.
He does like
kind
of a risky move where he like jumps up on the windowsill, kicks it so that it kind of like the momentum brings it back.
One of the few scenes in this movie where it's really funny that like, okay, sure, this is just an investment banker, not a trained ballet dancer, Patrick Swayze. Yeah,
not working dancer, performer. Like
I'm thinking of, the other scene I'm thinking of is when he kicks the soda can and he's like trained to like...
it's like a perfect plie or whatever.
Yeah, he does like this beautiful like...
he just can't help it. He's so fucking graceful.
It's such an obvious setup. You're like, how's he gonna die? And they even have that moment when they're watching TV when he's just like, oh, another plane crash. These things always come in
threes.
Yeah.
Where he's kind of a superstitious guy, and he seems to be, like you said, he's waiting for something bad to happen.
So we're setting up a few things, though, which is neat. And I think what Jackie, you were saying, like, they kind of stopped making movies. Like, I feel like if this movie were made in 2020...
They're like, we're making this 5 minutes.
Yeah, like, this is too boring. Like, we need to... No one knows what's going on. But I like that it's just kind of setting stuff up.
And also, importantly, in this beginning part, we get the pottery scene.
Yeah, we get the sexy pottery, which I'll say I don't think is very sexy. The hands are gross.
The hands are gross, but then they wash their hands, they're like...
When they wash the hands, it's
and then he's like lifting
gross.
Her up in his That's arms. Hot. That's the hot part. Yeah.
Lots of good back shots of
Patrick
Swayze's
back.
Yeah, of her
like running her hands down his back. It's a sexy movie.
You could have a picnic on that.
Yeah, the pottery part is very iconic, and I was thinking about it before it came up. I was like, they're going to like have sex. They got pottery all over their hands. And I was
her
like,
shirt's all dirty.
They're
going
to get everything so dirty. And then I was watching. I was like, oh, they washed up. Good for them.
Good
they
choice, guys. Good choice.
They just moved in. Keep your stuff nice.
Yeah. The next day, they're like, oh, we got all that. Oh, we got clay on the walls. Ooh, gross.
She probably used that as an excuse to get rid of his chair in that moment.
Yeah, she wiped her hands all over that chair she hates.
I guess we'll have to get rid of it.
Speaking of Harry Met Sally, that chair was definitely like a Harry Met Sally table vibe.
If he hadn't died, they would have thought about it some more. But then he does.
Well, so they go to...
What if that's like, well, this is the first thing that's going. Sorry, Sam, you're dead now. Yeah.
They go to see Macbeth, and then they walk down...
They go to see Zorro, and then they walk
they
down
walk down
Murder
Alley. Like, this is the most Murder Alley street I've ever seen.
To be fair, that's just New York.
It's not. Like, that's like... It's so funny. Like, this. As soon as they're walking down, I'm like, okay, yeah, so he's gonna get murdered here. Like, there's just... It's definitely where Bruce Wayne's parents got shot.
And you happen to be walking down this street where you can still see the theater that nobody else needs to walk down. And there's no lights.
Just take a better lit street, you guys, please.
Well, it's just like, it made me wonder, like, did they leave out the back door of this theater? Like,
well, because Patrick Swayze got scared and so they...
Yeah, he got scared like Bruce Wayne.
I was also thinking it's kind of funny that it's, I'm guessing it's intentional that they, like, the play they went to see is Macbeth, you know, like Bad Luck or whatever.
Yeah, that kind of betrayal and party is trying to kill to usurp X, Y, and Z. It's a nice little touch.
So Swayze is shot by a murderer on Murder Alley. And you think it's like, oh, just like some random mugger, but we'll later find out it was not just some random mugger.
Mm. We also get that first scene where he kind of realizes what's happened, but we hear a gunshot, and then we see the mugger run off and Swayze run after him, and he doesn't catch up, so he kind of runs back, and he's about to be like, oh, Molly, he ran off, and then he sees that... He is laying on the ground, bloody and
dying.
That was
super well done. I loved that whole sequence. Very
As a first
effective.
Time watcher, Mike, like, did you see it coming? Where you're like, oh, I guess he's not dead yet. He's like, because the way it's edited,
as soon as he was walking
right
down
right
that alley,
you're like, oh, that guy's dead.
Like, you don't leave that alley alive.
I know you knew he was going to die, but like the way they edit that scene, like you hear the gunshot, Willie runs off, and then Sam immediately chases after him. And so, like, if you're a first time watcher, I'm curious, like. Like, did you think, like, maybe he's not dead yet?
I thought that we see him run off and then he kind of comes back. I thought we were going to see that he had, like, been shot in the stomach and he would, like, keel over.
They were
going to
do the, like, the OC of, like, oh, what you say?
Yeah, that. I was surprised to see, like, he was just full dead at that point.
They do, they repeat that a little bit when spoilers Willie the
spoilers
the man who killed Sam eventually dies in it's like a car accident. We see him like get thrown. He's on the street. And then he kind of gets up, and then the same kind of thing of the character who's now a ghost looks back at their actual body, and it's like he's crushed between two cars, and he's like looking at that. That was another sequence of I've seen this movie a ton of times where when he first gets up, I was like, oh, did he die?
Yes!
Where did he?
I have also seen this movie, and I was like, you don't get thrown when two cars smush you. What is happening?
That's really like, that's weird. Oh no, he's a ghost.
Yeah,
the only time they reveal their hand is the death of Carl when the glass falls down.
And that's what I was
see his ghost body. Like,
I was
come out.
Surprised when we do finally get to that climactic moment that is the fully just like we're showing this guy getting impaled by glass.
It's brutal.
It is
well earned.
Well earned because you know what? Actually, Carl is kind of a bad guy.
Well, we'll get to why Carl's a bad guy, but first I want to talk about when Patrick Swayze realizes he's a ghost. There's a couple minute sequence that's super good and like trippy and weird where like he's kind of like there's a lot of like weird cuts and like he's in bed and
oh yeah.
Yeah,
he's that is kind of scary. I also so when he becomes a ghost, and he's still in the alleyway, you see, I guess, heaven open up. And
you see, like, the light.
It is funny that it's, like, it's open for, like, 10 seconds, and he's, like, kind of not looking, and it's just like, all right, well,
No, that moment felt like a very intentional. He's like looking at this thing, but then he turns away from it because Molly is saying, like, don't leave me, like, come on, Sam. Yeah. And so it's this very kind of emotional human thing where he like chooses purgatory, but maybe also not entirely understanding what's happening because, like, sure, it's very stressful to become a ghost.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone through a lot of shit in the span of like 10 seconds. He's seen his dead body as Molly is cradling him, blood everywhere. And he's also having these weird like hallucinations where he wakes up in bed. He's like, oh, thank God, Molly, like, takes the sheets off.
Creepy angel statue. Creepy, decrepit angel statue, actually. But so he kind of turns away from this option to go to the light.
Yeah,
he's stuck as a ghost.
Yeah, and there's all these those weird cuts. It's pretty cool. And I think like after that, do we like how does it exit that whole sequence? Do we end up at like
the funeral?
Yeah, well, we like are first at like the hospital.
The hospital.
And he's just kind of trailing behind Molly and then some time passes and
he meets a very nice old man ghost.
And the hospital?
Yeah, he's just waiting for his wife today.
Ugh. Pretty sad.
What's sad is ghosts. Also, okay, so we... I turned to Michael at one point. I'm like, I think this was also, like, a kind of a big scary element when I was a kid that I didn't necessarily, like, realize. But just the idea of, like, you're a ghost. You're in purgatory. You're just walking around lonely and sad. And you're walking around this city where you used to live and how scary that is. And Michael's like... No, I bet it's probably pretty cool to be a ghost in New York. There's cool shit.
Sure. I was just thinking, you know, once you get over the trauma and stuff, like, there's probably a lot of
walking
fun.
Walking the earth alone, you're like, but New York's cool. There's probably cool ghosts.
Well, I bet there's a good ghost community in New York.
But it shows you in the movie that it's not cool to be a ghost in purgatory.
It's just sad.
He's on a mission. He's not really exploring the town.
Okay, if he was... set out to have fun as a ghost.
Think of like the old timey jazz ghost you got, probably.
They can't bring their like stand up bass with them.
It's probably like cool old timey.
They can't bring
their
saxophone.
Think of Coney Island ghosts, the old freak show ghosts.
Who died in happy circumstances.
Old timey immigrant ghosts making like sausages.
All of this is so depressing, and you're like, those ghosts are having a great time.
I can't wait to die.
all those old timey ghosts who die in tenement housing. who died building the subway. We only saw one subway ghost. I'm sure there are so many more.
Oh, yeah.
And his moment, too. We'll get to the subway ghost, but how long you been down here? Since they pushed me. Like, ooh.
But I like that they leave it up in the air that, like, maybe he didn't get pushed, maybe he jumped kind of thing.
Yeah. Right.
Very emotional about it.
So basically, like, Sam Wheat, Patrick Swayze, is...
I always forget his last name is Wheat.
He's, I know, it's weird.
He's, like, following...
Sam Corn.
Following Demi Moore around. And is this, like...
It's like he eventually...
Carl is hanging out with Demi and being a little, like... This is where you start to get the shades of, like, you're kind of, like, getting a little fresh
this.
With...
Yeah.
Demi.
With your dead friend's girlfriend.
And we see pretty early on the mugger break it to the house, right?
Because he did originally, you know, it was like, oh, give me your wallet when Sam gets shot. But the guy did get his wallet as, you know, his information and stuff. And is it before or after this that... Sam, like, kind of wanders into where Whoopi Goldberg's got her whole operation.
It's before. So, like, or it's after this. So the Willie Lopez is, like, trying to, like, rob them. Demi Moore is there. And Sam is like, oh, no, Demi's going to get shot or something.
She's in danger. Molly, you're in danger, girl.
And kind of, like, interacts with a cat because I guess
cat
the cats
hero.
Can kind of see. Yeah.
Cat
yeah.
rescue. Yep.
Definitely.
Cats can see ghosts. We'd know that.
Cats see ghosts. And so the cat like is scared by Sam and jumps and scratches Willie, who like runs out of
gives
the...
Gives him a very cinematic three scratches on his cheek.
Runs out of the apartment. And I think that's when Sam follows him after running out.
Oh, this was another moment, yeah, where Willie goes to his, like, shitty little apartment where, like, that one is also $1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000.
I know. I was like, this guy pays rent?
Yeah, this guy pays rent. Like, he has an apartment under his real name. He's got a little telephone where then he calls Carl and he's like, hey, Carl, who paid me to murder his best friend, I tried to rob.
Say Carl. You don't know who he's calling.
Yeah, we don't know any of the yeah. The shoe is not dropped on Carl.
Yeah, but the hints are stuff is piling up.
This is where we find out that Sam was specifically targeted.
Yeah, it wasn't that it wasn't just a random
right.
thing.
Yeah. Mike, since you've not seen it before, did you at this point ever have an inkling, oh, maybe it was Carl? Or
no,
still-
not at all. All I was getting is like, man, Carl's like trying to get...
Carl's kind right. of a jerk, maybe.
And I do love, like, in retrospect, they even talked about that first, like, 10 or 15 minutes. It does a lot of cool setup. Like, there's even that quick little scene where Swayze is at work and, like, Carl shows up and is like, what's wrong? And Swayze's like, ah, there's, like, an extra, like, money in this account. I don't know, like, where I got to figure out, like, what's going on. And Carl's like, I can help that.
Oh, I'll take care of it.
He's like, no, I got it. And
because
like,
it's set up really well.
Yeah, you just kind of think it's like, okay,
the
like
he's
setting at the time.
Stuff.
I'm like setting up like his job's tough or something. Like,
yeah.
And well, in that element, when he's alive, like Sam is technically like Carl's boss. Is that what it is? Or it seems like Carl is like a little bit under him.
I didn't think he was his boss, but I do think he's higher up.
Okay, yeah. Which is another kind of thing that like once Sam is
Sam
out of the picture.
Sam has his own office.
Yeah.
Carl's like out in the pit.
Yeah. And when Sam dies, Carl is like, oh, and I've been taking over like this account of his and I've been doing this. And it's, yeah, while he's kind of muscling in on Demi Moore too.
It's a weird, Carl's weird because like all of the things that he does, it doesn't seem like he actually wants to hurt Sam or Molly because he's like, oh, you have extra money. If I, you know, it'll work out for both of us. I will steal the money. The accounts will be even for you. We'll both solve our problems. Or, and then it's like, okay, just mug him to get the number
info
or whatever,
for something. Yeah.
So we don't have
like...
to hurt him. So it's very weird. Like,
yeah, it's he doesn't care about hurting him that much, like as much as he should, I think.
I think it is kind of still subtly built up in that first scene, like when there is kind of like that just resentment from Carl,
yeah.
Where, you know, maybe I don't want to murder my best friend, but I would like something bad to happen to him. Yeah, I want
he's jelly.
Him.
Yeah, he is jelly.
That's just
jelly.
Very interesting because I really did not see that in him until like way, way later when like seemingly to me out of nowhere, you know, he starts trying to schmooze Molly. I'm like, where did this come from? But maybe that's just me as a naive movie watcher.
There's, you know, after watching, because I've seen this movie before, so I you know, I'm looking at other details and this movie has like really, first off, I think this is a really well-written script. It won an Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay.
Oh shit, I didn't realize that.
But one thing I realized, I was looking for things, and there's a lot of great setup, character setup specifically with Carl. You know, like it is set up that he's a little jelly of them, like of their relationship, because like in the beginning when they're like knocking the thing down, like oh, this place is great, you could see Carl like when they like have that like that when they embrace each other and they kiss, you kind of see him like
it's you know, like oh, we're so in love, and then Carl's just there kind of like,
you know,
this is great, guys.
Also, I think they do a good job of setting up that they're just friends, because there's this scene of them in the elevator when they're going up to their office. And as I was watching it, it had been a while since I saw it, so initially I misread the scene, because they have this bit between the two
plays
of them,
very differently living through COVID.
Well, yeah. The yes. elevator they're, bit.
They're in the elevator, and they're kind of... and they're
packed elevator. Packed like sardines.
How are you feeling? What'd the doctor say?
He said that it was contagious. That it was really.
No.
Yeah. He said that I shouldn't even be coming in today.
What about the rash?
The rash?
Mm-hmm.
The rash is also incredibly contagious. He said it has been spreading.
No. On your genitals again?
Yeah. Yeah, right on the genitals. Basically everywhere. He said that I shouldn't touch anyone. Excuse me.
You're sick.
No.
And initially, I was like, is the point of this scene that they're trying to, like, clear the elevator? They don't want anyone on the elevator with them? But
they're
no,
just messing
it's just
with
them
people.
They're just goofing around. And I'm like, oh, it's just their buds. Yeah. And I think that this is a good setup scene because, again, it kind of, like, gets you off the scent of that he could be a bad guy. It's like, no, they're good friends. They're joking.
There's never, like, any scent to get off of. It's like...
Well, I was going to say this also when you're kind of... You know, when you know that Carl is the bad guy, that again, this kind of in like connected to how Sam is like a little bit above him at work. Like this, the whole bit is like Sam kind of prompting and having Carl be the one who's has the rash and has the et cetera. And it is a kind of like, you know, I'm on top, you're the punchline kind of thing. And it's not like mean-spirited. It's not like, oh, look at my fucking friend who's got this rash, fuck him. And the other guy is like, yeah, Sam. But it's one of those little notes where it's, you know, you imagine if they've been friends for like a really long time or like grew up together, that like that is the thing that would grate on Carl, that he'd be like, no, I'm going to be the one who's telling the joke this time, Sam.
I'm going to make the pottery with Demi Moore.
Carl started the joke in the elevator because he coughed first.
Oh, that's right.
He
but there,
no, but, you're but right, you're I will right. I will say that Sam did add the rash bit, so maybe
that's the thing where they're like they are friends and it is a kind of mutual like joking thing. But that you know, Sam is it will be
Sam
like
did
oh I'm
say
gonna
in a room full of people you have a rash on your genitals.
Yeah, like he's the one kind of pushing it to be like oh and it's this thing too right and having your friend have to like yes and it
yes.
Anyway.
But it says a lot about their friendship that when they get out of the elevator, Tony Goldwyn doesn't shove him or anything
like
that.
Yeah, they're laughing about it.
Like, laughs it off. Yeah. They also do a lot of great setup with Sam's little booklet where he keeps his password. There's a lot of great, it's subtle stuff. He's like, oh, here's my password. He writes it down. And we see that Carl sees that he has the password in that book.
Yeah.
And later on when they're like with all the boxes after Sam's dead and they're getting all of his stuff, I guess they're going to get rid of it or whatever. He's like, oh, here's an address book. He plays it off like it's nothing.
I'll just keep this.
And then they put it in a Reebok shoebox. And then later you see him walking off with boxes with that Reebok box on top. And she's like, oh, hey, don't get rid of that. He's like, oh, sorry, I didn't even think about it.
Oh, wow.
Again, it's very subtle. Like, you don't, as a first-time watcher, Mike, I ask you, like, did you think anything about that shoebox was
nope.
going to play into the plot?
Not a thing.
Yeah, it's done really subtly.
Well, we've kind of walked through to when Sam discovers Willie Lopez's apartment and stuff. And I think this is a good time to talk about the other Academy Award, this movie.
One of the few EGOTs in the world.
Yeah.
That's right.
This movie
yeah.
Goldberg. I just love the whole concept of real psychic who scams people as a fake psychic.
Yeah, so how does he go to her house?
He just is kind of walking around, and then I think he sees
this
like
is, so
psychic.
He's gone to
whatever.
He's gone to the murderer's apartment, and he's like walking around that neighborhood. Is that right?
Yeah, and he just kind of sees
she lives
it
in the same neighborhood as Willie,
and he wanders in, and he seems to be very much like I don't know what I'm. What's over here? Nothing. I don't know. And he's
he notices it's like commune with the dead, and he's just like, well, you know,
this is probably
whatever.
Fake, but
maybe
whatever.
This is probably bullshit.
And then he walks in. Well.
So many candles.
So many candles. Whoopi Goldberg with her two sisters who are like, yes, welcome in, and we'll go fetch the oracle.
She's with like basically like a grieving widow,
Mrs. Santiago, who
Mrs.
really
Santiago.
Like if it wasn't her and Whoopi, she would steal the scene because she
yeah.
She is good.
Yeah, she was good too.
And so yeah, Whoopi's doing this whole scam where she's like, oh yes, your loved one. I can definitely see him. And did he know someone named Anna? No. Lucita. And she names like 20 more names. Maria. Yeah, Maria.
And Patrick Swayze like starts kind of just like talking to himself. He's just like, what a load of shit.
Yeah, he's like, oh, this is bullshit.
And you start Whoopi's like, what?
She can hear him.
Who said that?
And this is the first instance of like he keeps on talking shit, and then eventually she's like, who is there? Who are you? What are you saying?
Julio?
Yes.
Earth's vibration.
Oh, Julio.
Julio's coming towards us. I see him. He's coming. He's there. He's dressed in a black suit. Black suit? Could be blue.
What a crock of shit.
Who is that? Julio!
Where are you?
Julio? Julio? Did you hear it?
Damn. Where are you?
Wait, what's the name?
Julio? Who are you?
Who?
Alda?
Oh!
Julio?
Sister. Julio? You can hear me?
Sister, don't you hear him?
I don't believe this. Hey, you.
Julio?
Hey, you, my name is Sam Wheat. Listen, can you hear me? Sam Wheat. Say my name. Say it.
Leave me alone.
Say my name. Say it. Sam Wheat. Say it.
I will.
Say my name. Sam Wheat. Say it.
Talk to me, Ultimate. Say something.
Julio.
Sam Wheat.
Jesus.
Sam Wheat?
But I swear, no more cheating. I promise. I'll do anything. I'll do penance. Give me penance, but make that guy go away.
No way.
And this is like within 25 minutes. It's funny, you mentioned, Mike, maybe this is just a sign of our times, the degradation of cinema. But you mentioned, like, you're like, man, it takes so long, 20 minutes. To me, I'm like, this is really economical screenwriting. Like, he dies by 20 minutes in, and then 10 minutes later, he meets Whoopi Goldberg. And I feel, again, this is a really good script. I got to salute it because, like, I really don't feel like there's a wasted scene in this movie. Like, every scene is setting something up and it pays off, and, you know, it gets to point A to point B to C. And I was really taken by the screenplay in this movie. It was really, really effective.
It is good.
Really good pacing.
Yeah. I like that it's a little patient.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
it is something that has been lost,
but it felt,
broadly.
But it didn't feel long to me. I guess is what I was getting at. Like you mentioned, if this were a more modern movie, he probably would have died in half the time. But I like that it takes its time. It doesn't feel rushed, but it doesn't feel long either. Like, it just felt perfectly paced to how each event unfolded.
Yeah, I agree. Very.
But at that point, Sam, like, convinces Whoopi, Oda Mae Brown, to, like, you have to go to Molly, to my girlfriend, and tell her that she's in danger.
I like that there's, like, they've set up at this point that I thought was neat. Like, there's a reason why he wants to talk to her. Like, a lesser movie would just be like, oh, I want to talk to my, you know, ex-lover to tell her I miss her or whatever. But there's, like, there's stakes. There's, like, oh, this guy's, like, going to come back. He's going to maybe kill you. I need to warn her.
Yeah.
And, Dave, I mean, you got to drop the iconic line reading from Whoopi Goldberg of warning Molly that she's in danger, because it's so very good. There's,
the guy yelling out of his window.
No, of Whoopi Goldberg saying, Molly, you in danger, girl. It's
you in danger, girl.
He wants me to tell you what he's saying word for word.
Molly, you're in danger.
Now, you can't just blurt it out like that and quit moving around, will you? Because you're starting to make me dizzy. I'll just tell her in my own way. Molly, you in danger, girl.
Oh, but that whole scene, that whole scene of, like, her yelling at the street, like, trying
all of that, yeah. Just, it's so good. Like, she's so funny. We'll get to it, but, the scene where she's dressed up in the bank and doing all that, and, like, her face when she has to give the check to the nuns is just so funny. Like, she's so good. I love her her huge hair too. Oh, it's such a good look.
She does a good job really threading the needle of a funny performance and a serious, like, heartfelt performance. Like, she goes back and forth. Like, she's very funny in that scene when she's, like, yelling at that guy, like, oh, you shut up, you know what I mean? Kiss my butt.
She will tell you to shut up and just make the funniest face while she's doing it. But then there's, like, the stuff where, you know, like, the danger is really happening, and later, like, Willie shoots at her, and she's scared, and she's like, I don't want to be, I didn't want to be wrapped up in any of this, and you're getting me into, like, ghost shit.
So,
and then you get the moment later with the possession, which we'll get to.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
well,
again, I think she really goes back and forth really well. And, like, I think the moment that probably cinched her Academy Award performance was at the end when she's kind of, like, contemplating in her head, like,
okay, you can
know
do
what?
It.
I got, they want to touch. Like, I can feel the love here. Like, take my
just
bun.
Do it. Yeah.
Like, that's probably the moment that cinched that Oscar.
Oh, God. Well, in that moment and just the shot of her hands touching.
Yeah.
Demi Moore's hands of just like, oh my God, I'm going to cry talking about it. Anyway, so Molly doesn't, or but she
Molly
kind
doesn't
of,
believe him at first, but then like Otome is a, you know, because Sam's like, you know,
tell her,
tell
this.
Her the, about the Christmas.
Ditto.
Yeah.
Ditto.
Yeah, tell her
ditto.
About Ditto.
Ditto's what stops her from leaving.
Her favorite Pokemon.
Oh, that was that other kind of right before Sam dies where Molly's saying, but like, you never tell me you love me. He's like, what are you talking about? I say it all the time. She says, like, no, you say ditto. That's not the same thing.
People say I love you all the time. They don't mean
it. They don't mean it. I say ditto and I mean it.
Sounds like a very New York banker thing to say.
A little bit, a little bit. That is, okay, that was another
ditto,
thing that
babe.
I was thinking about during this movie was that, like, I love, you know, I love Swayze. You know, I'm crazy for Swayze. If you're a New York banker in the 80s, like, you're going to hell. You are not given the option of heaven.
You think it was straight up the demons that should have came for him. The
I'm like,
demons.
Yeah, he never murdered anyone like Willie does or Carl does, but like...
He's robbed a lot of union
know what
members
you've
of
done.
Their pension.
You know what you've done. Nothing good.
Maybe he's like the Robin Hood banker and he like...
He only
screws sure. over the corporations.
Doing yeah. cocaine must not get you to hell either. Cause
he like no, he like probably helps a lot of old ladies. Just like I'm sorry, I can't help you, but if you do this, you
oh
do
yeah,
this,
he's
you do
actually
this,
Mr. Incredible.
Yes.
I forgot Mr. Incredible was like sympathetic.
Yeah. He's like, I work for the insurance, but like I don't. Yes. I will tell you how to get out of this. I will. that's
but,
a great
but,
movie.
But this is where the shoe drops. So. How, so what is it that oh
it's that
that Demi Moore tells Carl the address and the name and Carl's like I'll check it out and so Patrick Swayze Sam goes with him and is like oh Carl,
oh yeah that scene is
gonna,
so good
you're gonna get this guy because
yeah
that,
oh my God that
you're
that
gonna
that's
get him.
Well, they do a good job of, like, again, like, if you're not aware it's Carl, like, if you haven't seen it before, they do a good job of, like, right up to the second when he knocks on that door, because, like, they have Sam say, be careful.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You're just like, oh, my God, don't go there. The guy's going to shoot you. And then the shoe drops.
And like, it's even like there's a great shot where he opens the door and Sam is, like, kind of confidently, like, smirking, like, all right,
my
Willy,
boy's going to get
it's
you.
Over.
And uh-oh. then Willie's like, Carl, what are you doing here? And there's like that music sting and that's so well done. And I, as a first timer, was surprised.
Carl, what the hell are you doing here?
Who you been talking to, Willie?
Talking to? The hell do you mean?
Some woman knows all about you, everything. And where's she getting it from, huh?
I haven't said a word to anybody.
She knows your name, goddammit. She knows where you live.
How do women know where I live?
This is not a joke. She knows about the murder. And I want you to find this bitch, whoever she is. And I want you to... just get rid of her, okay? I've got $4 million stuck in a goddamn computer. If I don't get those codes, if that money is not transferred soon, I'm dead. We are both dead.
Why don't you tell him you only launder money first of the month?
What the hell is wrong with you, huh? Is everything a joke? You killed a man. You're supposed to steal his wallet. Was that a joke?
Man, I did you a favor, man. That was a freebie.
Look, these are drug deals, okay? Just don't blow this for me, Willie. I've risked my job. I could go to jail. $80,000 of that money is mine. Look, just... Let me have the key to Sam's apartment. I'll get the address by myself, okay?
Tony Goldwyn is really good in this role because he's so, like, he's very cute, and when he's playing, like, the friendly, you know, he's just your best friend kind of thing, like, it works, but then as he's getting kind of seedier and, like, more nervous, he looks like, you know, he gets all sweaty, he's falling apart.
Yeah, he's a complicated character because it's just, like, obviously he's jealous. You see that scene in the beginning where he's a little, like, money, wealth obsessed. He sees that
written, I mean, he's a banker.
Well, yeah, he's a banker.
Oh, yeah, I've seen, like, the car, and he's just like, yeah, oh, I gotta...
little setups, but he's just like, you know, you can tell, I think, that he didn't want Sam to die. They were truly friends.
Well, he did really want to launder money.
But he was, yeah, he got into it with drug dealers, yeah. Apparently. They say drug dealers, so it's like, damn, like, but I like
which
the fact
drugs?
That
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fact that the friendship didn't feel forced. Like, that it was an actual friendship there, and he didn't want his friend to die, but he was in so deep with these drug dealers, he's like, well, shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
and I
like,
really... Oh, go ahead, Dick.
No, you go.
No, you were in the middle of a sentence.
I lost my train of thought.
And drug dealers are scary.
Drug dealers are scary.
I'm so sorry. I was going to say, I don't think that he ever even would have done anything to Sam if he hadn't been presented that opportunity. Oh, there's extra money in these accounts. And then he, you know, he was like, I need money. I'm going to have this plan now. I don't think he would have ever even done anything.
Yeah, or if he did, it would have been, like, you know, something much more, like, low stakes, you know, and something where, yeah, and he isn't trying to get his best friend killed, but he is trying to steal.
Yes.
He has like, an in over his head vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Which, again, you know, you're a banker.
Makes him desperate, though.
Makes you desperate.
And he plays desperate. So well, because like you said, I think like 90% of his screen time, he is profusely sweaty.
Yeah, he gets sweatier and sweatier as the movie goes on.
And especially all the scenes where he's like frantically typing on those old ass computers, and he's just like, oh, are the computers acting up?
He is very like, he has a wiggly performance. Like, he's constantly like,
we do eventually. Go back to Oda Mae's whole setup, and now all the like ghosts in the neighborhood are like, oh, she's a real psychic. Yeah. Oh shit. Right. Yeah. And so she's like doing the real version of like her scam now, and she's so annoyed. This is also where we get that great scene where with that couple who's like, Orlando? Orlando? And a ghost jumps into Whoopi Goldberg, possesses her for a second, and I love that bit where he's like, what'd you do to your hair? And the woman's like, do you like it? It's Auburn Sunset, or whatever she says. It's such a
autumn
good
sunrise.
Autumn sunrise. And we do get that, which is set up for the later, you know, serious emotional possession.
The later Patrick Swayze hairdo, Autumn Sunrise.
Autumn Sunrise, it looks great. And that moment of like the ghost, you know, is ejected from her. She's like, get the fuck out, everyone, get out of here. And that one other ghost is like, you know what happened. You should have known better. And it's like, okay, I guess this is common knowledge.
Did you ever do that to me again?
Orlando?
Look.
Barely move.
Now you should know better than that. Jumping in the bodies wipes you out.
Everybody out. What happened to Orlando? Where's the insurance policy? Are you deaf? I said everybody out. Everybody out. Get out. Get out. Get out. Everybody get out.
It wears you out.
That's a moment that's kind of for the audience.
Sure, yeah.
But what I like about this moment, this scene, like when he walks in, he goes back to Oda Mae, and he's just like, hey, you know, I need your help. They're going to come. Well, first off, he's like, they're coming to kill you. Like, you got to get out of here. They know who you are. But what's great about this scene is that I love that you see all these ghosts in here. Like, word is out. Like, someone can actually commune with the dead. And I love how Oda Mae kind of just drops the whole facade of, like, come sit.
Yeah, she's not like, doing the voice anymore. She's like, is there Orlando line here? Hello?
Yeah, exactly. I love that it's just like, you know, like, I got to get through these. There's a ton of ghosts in here.
Now. I love they're like in line. Like, when Sam shows up, the ghost, there's a ghost. They're like, back of the line.
Back of the line, buddy.
Yes, exactly. It's a great scene, and just like, I think she plays it really well. Like, when she tells everyone to get out, Willie comes in. He's like, "Who are you, Willie?" And then Willie's like, "Oh shit, she knows me."
And she flips the table.
It's like instant.
Get out.
You the fortune teller?
Who are you?
That's an interesting question. Why don't you tell me,
Willie?
Willie. Prospect Place, Willie.
Get out of here fast.
It's such a table turn. She's just like, "Who are you? Well, you tell me." And then Sam's like, "Oh, shit."
And she's like, "Oh, fuck."
Yes, his reaction is so good. He's like, "Oh, my God, how did you know?"
Oh, shit, she's a real psycho. Yeah. Well, exactly. I'm still going to kill her.
It plays really well.
I think we did skip over, as we've talked around, Subway Ghost.
Yes.
Where the first time Sam meets him, it's by accident. He's following Willie onto the subway, I think. He's following someone onto the subway.
He follows Willie, and he's just on the subway train. He's just like, "I'm going to find you, you son of a..." Or, "I'm going to figure out what your scheme is."
Gonna...
And that's when Vincent Chiavelli's like, "Hey!"
And he goes up in his face, "You like trains?" And it's so scary, especially if, like, you know, you're a kid just watching a movie with your mom.
But that's when he notices that train ghost can touch things.
And he can touch things. He can knock, you know, newspapers. Ghost he can stuff. Break windows. He can do ghost shit.
Yeah. That's something we should talk about. We haven't really talked about it too much, but like the quote unquote ghost powers that they show you in this movie.
Yes.
I think are, you know, like there's some of the effects in the movie don't hold up that well, but the main effect of just going through things, I think, is kind of a simple effect that I think more or less holds up.
I think
more or less.
It's a little fuzzy, but it is, it's, you know, does what it needs to do. And it does, you know, make the scenes where, like, you know, Swayze finally moves, like, the can or the penny or whatever, like, very effective.
There's some scenes that are better than others, and, like, but some interesting ideas. Like, there's a scene early on where I think it's in the hospital and some guy walks through Swayze, and you see POV Swayze, where, like, as he's walking through, Swayze just sees, like, the inside guts of the guy for, like, a second.
And just imagine that happening to you, like, 100 times a day.
Yeah.
You're just walking around the city as it goes.
I think it's really well set up, and I feel like that's something I would have wanted to see. Like, I would have been a little upset if they didn't show you that kind of detail. Like, you even see it in the door. Like, he walks through that door for the first time, and you see, like, the inside of the door, like, the, you know, the material and the molecules and stuff as he's going through it. Like, those are cool details that I think really help sell this.
So the subway ghost kicks him off the subway, and we do eventually go back.
Yeah, I think this is around the time where he goes back and he's like, "Okay, I need to like
this.
Learn how to move stuff. I need to jingle some keys."
Subway
well,
ghost.
Because Carl gets fresh. Yes. He gets fresh again with Demi.
Oh, that's right.
He spills the coffee on his shirt.
And
he's like,
scene,
"Let me just take this off." Yeah. Oh, it's okay.
Oh, you want me to wash that? No, I'll just sit here shirtless.
Oh, no, I'll just sit here.
I'll just loom over you shirtless.
I feel like every scene is like a perfect setup. You know what I mean? Like, there's not a wasted scene. Everything leads
and
to
Patrick Swayze like dive bombs on them to like no.
He knocks over a photograph before they
can
kiss.
Yeah, and
he
somehow knocks over the photograph of him and Demi's like they're kissing, but it's like gonna go farther. And then when the photograph of Sam falls on the floor,
Carl's like, "I can't believe it! Now I've spilled coffee on my penis.
Oh, I spilled it right on my penis.
Guess I better take these off too." Oh, no, it's soaked right through to the underwear.
Oh, my boxers,
too. Oh, no.
So unlucky. I'll just air dry on your bed.
No, I'm fine. I'll just hang out.
Where you slept with Sam.
Oh, is this a record player? Oh, is that a pottery stuff?
I love pottery. No, but back to the Subway Ghost. I love that scene where he's like, he's screaming at Swayze. He's like, "Get out of here. I'm like, get out." And he's like, no. And then eventually he's like, "You're a stubborn asshole."
I love that because he's like, he's just this like crazy guy on the subway yelling. And Swayze is like, "I want you to teach me." He's like, "Rah!" But then there's just a hard cut to like him teaching
anyway.
Him. Like, all right,
yeah,
so,
I'll do it.
So what you got to do here is you got to put all your emotions into your fingertips.
use your gut, push with your gut.
Well, it's done really well, because, like, again, this I like how it's done, how he explains it, because it's not really something you can explain to him, you know what I mean? He's just like, I don't know how you do it. You just kind of, like, bottle up your emotions and let them out.
It's basically, he's teaching him how to use the Force.
He says, you can't push it with your finger, you're dead.
Yeah.
He's like, the problem with you is you think you're still alive or whatever.
It's good, and it's I do really like that scene, because we go from the subway where there's all this like rushing noise and tension and everything to the hard cut. They're at like a subway station. It's completely quiet. It's trying to teach this, and then we get that exchange of Sam asking like, well, you know, you're really good at this. How long have you been dead since they pushed me? And he says, "What you think?
Well, he's like, he said, I jumped.
He
said, since they pushed me, and Sam is like, who pushed you? And he's like, what, you don't believe
me? You think I'm lying? And it's all this very just like emotional, like tense.
I love it. It is like pretty vague of like what happened, how long he's been there.
Well, and also just him as a character of this very realistic, you know, person who does exist in New York and in every city of, you know, the quote unquote like undesirable, like. Maybe homeless, maybe like mentally ill, but just that he had some life and he died, and it seems like, you know, he's going to be there forever because no one, you know, was looking for him or cared about him or whatever. And it's that kind of thing of all these people who exist that live and die and then are never kind of thought of or acknowledged.
How long have you been here?
Since they pushed me.
Someone pushed you?
Yeah, someone pushed me.
Who?
What, you don't believe me? You think I fell? You think I jumped? Well, fuck you! It wasn't my time! I wasn't supposed to go! I'm not supposed to be here! Oh. Oh. Oh, I'd give anything for a drag. Just one drag.
Are you all right?
Who are you? Why are you hounding me? Who sent you? Who sent you? Leave me alone. Leave me alone! Leave me alone!
And I love that the way the movie does it is so sad, and it's a great world building thing, because that one of the saddest moments in the movie is right after like he jumps into the train and he disappears, and you just see like the paper billowing in the wind, like that slow close up on Patrick Swayze as it zooms in on his face. Like in that moment, you're thinking like you're in Patrick Swayze's head. He's like, damn, how long has this guy been here?
How long am I gonna be like him?
Yeah, am I gonna be like that guy? It's just like. It, to me, it's like a moment, like it says a lot without saying anything, and it's just like, damn, like being a ghost sucks.
Yeah. It's sad.
Unless you're Mike, then it's a hoot.
That is probably fun. Yeah. You can't even smoke cigarettes.
Like, dude, just take the train to Coney Island and have a good time.
Duh. Get on a roller coaster.
Yeah, you can still get on a roller coaster.
I bet there's
some fun. The only thing that ghosts have to obey is the law of gravity.
I bet you could just get up on the Ferris wheel. That would be really nice.
Yeah. Go to Greenwich Village. Just
be like, yeah, and you won't have to die. You know, you're already dead.
Oh, it's great. It's actually great.
I would be doing crazy stuff like I'm going to go to the top of the Empire State Building and jump because I'm already dead. You know what I mean? I'm going to jump out of planes without a parachute. Like, yeah.
You get sure. It, Dave. You're getting
sure,
it.
Sure, yeah. Hey,
I'm with you, Mike.
Your ghosts are going to have fun forever.
I want to be a ghost, too.
Well, and you guys will have each other, so that's perfect. You'll have each other. You won't go. You keep each other sane.
Suicide pact, Dave.
Woo!
Start your ghost pact.
Yeah, with our luck, though, the demons will carry us away.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
But, yeah, we did mention the what happens if you're a bad person who dies.
You're dead, Willie.
This, I honestly, I think the sound, I mean, because I think that the sound is what sells it, because the effects are kind of like, they're minimalist, but you can tell they're a little janky.
They're of their time.
They're kind of Sam Raimi Evil Dead-ish.
A little bit. This did, even just the images without the sound design, did scare me a lot as a kid of the idea of these, you know, creepy shadows coming alive and dragging you to hell.
I like the idea, though. Like, and yeah,
it's limited in its execution, but the sound of, like, they're groaning in pain, and it's very, like, it's freaky.
That's what makes it scary. And you only get, like, a brief glimpse of, like, of what looks like a face. It almost looks like a cartoon face, to be honest.
A little bit.
but it just gives you enough to be like, oh, my God, these are, like, beings, you know what I mean, that are, like, dragging him to hell, literally.
Well, I think we're skipping over, though, like, the sequence where...
No, we did that one. The bank?
No, the bank.
Oh, that's my favorite scene.
I want to be romantic. Mike, hurry up.
Oh, my God. But first, just the setup of when Sam finally gets Whoopi to help him out again. And she's like, he's like, oh, if you help me with this, I'll never bother you again. She's like, okay, fine. What do I have to, just tell me exactly what I have to do. And he's like, you have a nice dress. And she gives him this look, a great Whoopi look. And then we cut to the next day where she's like, well, I don't see what's wrong with what I'm wearing. And he's like, I'm sorry, I made a joke. I love your shoes. I just, that whole, like, 30 seconds, all of that, I love so much.
Especially
because
the smash cut is, she is wearing the most ridiculous outfit.
It's this bright pink shoulder pads, matching hat.
A 4-foot hat.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
Doesn't he say something like, I don't suppose I could convince you to take off the hat?
Yeah, later on. I really do.
She's like, no, of course not.
Fuck you.
It's a look.
I love their back and forth and their chemistry together. Where he's in the bank. He's trying to work her through, like, you're going to say that this is your name. You're going to close this account and do all this to fuck over Carl, basically.
Now imagine if this was the romantic core of the movie.
I wouldn't be mad at that, because they have great chemistry. That's he's whispering to her the whole time what to do, and she's doing it with various success. I love the bit
sign your name. Sign Rita Miller.
What they're trying to do is the, like, Carl's, like, $4 million of drug money is all in an account under Rita Miller. And so Swayze's like, okay, I want you to go in and, like, I know everything about the bank. So just, like, I'll tell you what to say and we'll just withdraw the money, get rid of it. And that way, like, screw you, Carl.
Yeah, it foils his plans.
For no real reason other than, like, I want to foil your plans. Yeah. Like,
this guy arranged my
murder. Honestly, this is kind of like a, I guess it does make sense, because I was thinking about it in my head. It's like, I'm trying to think, like, from Swayze's perspective, like, why would this, like, get them off Lotte Mae? Wouldn't that, like, make them want to find her even more? But the fact is, they don't know until later that it was her that got
because
the money.
Molly tells her.
Which is a great moment, too, because Carl comes to see Molly. He's all distraught, and she tells him, oh, I saw, like, Oda Mae. She wasn't even a real name, Rita Miller.
Okay, apparently it's Rita Miller.
Yeah, and then you cut to Sam, who's there, and he just closes his eyes like, oh, God, Molly. Like, why?
Yeah, that was good. The Whoopi at the bank, it's so good. He's, like, coaching her through it. I love the bit where he's, like, trying to tell her something, and then she's like, why are you whispering?
That is funny. And, yeah, and she doesn't really know exactly what's going on, and she's like, $4 million?
Oh,
okay,
yeah. Great. Yeah, I'll take that check.
The look on her face when he's handing her the check, and she has her little hand out, and she's like, yes, give it to me. Give it to me.
Oh, my God. The gloves and the hat, and it's... Oh.
Well, the way she takes that check, like, you would think, like, she is holding the actual weight of $4 million in her hand with that check. Like, you could feel the weight of the money.
And she's, like, talking to Sam about everything she's going to do with it, because...
She's like, $4 million.
I'm gonna buy my apartment. I'm gonna buy the whole block.
I'll buy the block. And he's like, you're not keeping the money. I never said you were keeping the money. She's like, what?
$4 million. Oh my God. What am I gonna do with this money? I'm gonna buy the building. No, wait. I'm gonna buy the block. I'm gonna make my sister go to a fat farm because you know she's way too big.
Whoa, wait. What are you gonna do?
I'm gonna buy the building.
Wait. Automate. I've got an idea.
Please.
donate.
Take the check out of your purse.
Anything.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I should take it out. I should put it where nobody can get it.
No, no. Endorse it.
No, if I endorse it, then if I drop it, somebody will get it. No, I just...
It's not your money. I never said you were going to get the money. This is blood money. I was killed for this money. Now endorse the check.
Yeah, but... Well, Sam, what are you going to do with it?
Look over there. To your left.
I know you don't think I'm giving this $4 million to a bunch of nuns.
Oda Mae, if you don't do it, they will track you down. Your only protection is to get rid of it.
Aw, Sam, come on. You're killing me. It's $4 million.
Just think of it this way. You'll go to heaven.
I want to go to heaven. I want to go to Beck and cast the goddamn check.
This was probably one of the most memorable scenes for me, because, like, as a kid, like, oh, this is funny. I get what's going on. He's making her give up the money to the nuns, which you could say is a setup for Sister Act.
See Whoopi and nuns again later.
Subtle little prequel nun.
That scene, though, where he's like, give... That's blood money. That money killed me. You can't keep it. You have to do the thing.
I love that. He's like, that money killed me. Like, I died because of that money.
I will steal your hat and just give that money away.
And she's like putting on this face.
And she's not just giving it to nuns. Like, it is specifically, it says for the homeless, you see a thing. So it's not like she's just like giving it to the Catholic Church.
And yeah, it's for a specific cause, and she almost doesn't give up the check. I love any time that happens, honestly, in movies where one character's like, okay, I'll take it now, and the other's like,
yeah, are they going to rip the check between the two of them when they're holding it?
What does she say when they're walking away? He's like, you did a good thing, Oda Mae. And she's just like, what's that nun going to do with it? She can't even buy underwear. I hate this. I hate you.
I hate nuns. I definitely don't want to ever be with
them. And of course we have, like, I knew it was coming. Like, the moment where the nun is like, they're smiling, like, okay, bye. And then she, like, looks down, like, what?
She fades or something. A fantastic scene, top to bottom. I honestly, the hot pink outfit, I adore.
But then Demi Moore blows it, tells Carl what happened, and now the stakes are up even more.
Yeah, and this is where Sam starts to, like, is this where Sam starts to, like, screw with Carl?
Yeah, well, yeah, before Carl figures out that it was... Oda Mae.
I've never seen you this excited to talk about the movie. You're like so flustered, Jackie.
Me?
You're like bumping the bike. You're like, oh.
When we I told you I'm crazy for Swayze. That's a big part of it. But this one, and
we should note that you, out of all of us, you are the only one to purchase VIP tickets for the Swayzesaurus.
If I can be in the splash zone, like, that would be.
It's all the splash zone.
This and Ghost, I truly, like, watched with my mom a million times. And now, as an adult, especially with Ghost,
you said this and Ghost.
I meant Dirty Dancing. Yeah, okay. But this especially in Ghost.
Right, someone fans Jackie. She's
I'm too crazy for Swayze. No, as a kid, you know, I liked the romance, but... you know, there's just certain things that don't necessarily get you emotionally at that age. And now as an adult watching, I was like crying. I'm like feeling the swells of the music. Anyway, love this movie.
That's something we should mention. The music in this movie, one of many, like, pretty prestigious people who worked on this movie, Maurice Jarre, who, if you're unfamiliar, did the soundtrack for Lawrence of Arabia.
Interesting. I mean, this
is Yeah, Dr. Zhivago, like, this is a guy that's done, like, these big epic films, and I really think that this score for this movie, paired with the moments, like, it's one of those things like E.T. and other movies
definitely.
Where, like, the visuals and the music combine, and it will always make me tear up. It just is always going to happen.
There's something, I don't know if it's purely nostalgia, but it has, like, a very, there's a few, like, elements that just sound so 90s about it that do, like, kind of get you in that, like, that heartstring area that they, it's too sincere, like, a musical kind of choice that just doesn't really happen as much anymore. But, that kind of E.T., that kind of, like, is a little twinkling.
There's no cynicism
there's
here.
There's none.
Flat out
sincere, and, I lost my train of thought because I was so crazy for Swayze just now.
Okay, someone get her some Gatorade.
Okay, no, I remember because before Carl kind of finds out that it was actually Oda Mae, he's in the office. He's like going
discovering
crazy.
That the money's been withdrawn.
The money's been withdrawn. He's like trying all
great
these,
scene. I love it.
All these computers. He's trying different ones, and then Sam is sitting behind him. He's like, "Yeah, money's gone. Check it, dude. It's gone." And then gets up to the computer and he types out "murderer." And Carl's like, "Who's there? Who's doing that?" And then he types Sam.
Go ahead, search. You'll never find it.
They're gonna kill you, Carl. You and Willie. You're gonna be fertilizer. They're gonna bury you right next to Jimmy Hoffa.
Yoo-hoo!
It's cool. It's, yeah.
Black and green, interface.
So they like is that what Carl goes to?
That's when he goes to Molly and finds
out. Molly spills the beans, and then Carl is like, "Okay, Willie, you got to kill Oda Mae." So of course Sam has warned Oda Mae just in time. They escape, and this is where Willie dies, right? Like they,
yeah, and then he's dragged to hell, and Carl runs off. Doesn't stick around for a sec.
Now we can get to the romance.
And now the real romance.
So Sam goes back.
He gets Oda Mae to Molly's apartment. Another just great scene because before the penny happens and Demi's on one side of the door, Whoopi's on the other, and Demi Moore's just like, "Why are you doing this to me?"
Yeah, at this point, like Demi still thinks Oda Mae's like a scammer.
Yeah, like and she's just like, she's crying. She's like, "Why are you doing this to me?" Because also, yeah, imagine like your boyfriend died horrifically in front of you, and then some con woman like keeps bringing it up and keeps
confirmed con woman too, because she goes to see, of all people, Stephen Root.
Oh, oh yeah, how did we walk gloss over Stephen Root?
Perfect whenever he shows up.
And he too, I think, gives a genuine performance. Like, because he could be the cop is just like, "Lady, get out of here. You're crazy."
But you're crazy.
I feel like he gives it some actual empathy here. He's like, "Look, I get where you're coming from. Like,
you're grieving. You're
grieving." Like, the other cop, the lady there, is just like, "Give me a break." You know what I mean?
Oh, your boyfriend died.
But I like that Stephen Root gets to play the good cop here, where he's just like, "Yeah, you know, I'll check it out." He's like, he gives her a file on Oda Mae Brown that's like inches thick.
Yeah,
she's like, "What about Willie Lopez?" There was no Willie Lopez, but there is a file on Oda Mae Brown.
Yeah.
But I like that he doesn't just like say, "Get out of here, you're crazy." He's just like, "Look, I get it. You're grieving. It's like an emotional moment." Again, the music swells again, and he's just like, you're trying so hard to like grasp to something.
Because, yeah, she's like, "Oh, maybe there's hope of this." And like, "No, actually, there's not." And it's like, "Well, fuck, I can't, you know, what am I supposed to do? Like, believe in ghosts?"
Look, if you want, I have this friend named Barry. He could take care of the situation if you want.
He's 4 years old. He's really good at assassinating people, though. Eventually we get another, like, oh, that moment where he's like, "Tell her she's wearing the shirt that I spilled the margarita on and the earrings that I got her for Christmas," and he lifts up the penny. And
this is like the E.T. moment for me, like with the you have the E.T. moment with the glowing light. "I'll be right here." This, the penny floating in the air, dropping it into her hand, like this gets me every time.
It's emotional. And then we get the moment where they're Oda Mae and Molly and Sam in the apartment, and Sam and Molly are sitting next to each other on the couch, and Oda Mae has that great moment where she's like, I'll do it. You can take over my body. Just, it's okay. Just do it. And then the music plays again. Jackie's crying.
You know, as you say that, take a run, but that reminds me, I think one of the funniest lines in the movie is right after Sam, like, Oda Mae, like, she's like, oh my God, I do have a gift. And she's in her house, like, her sisters are comforting her, and Sam's just kind of talking to her. And one of my favorite lines in the movie where she's like, are you white? I knew it. You're white. Of course.
Of course.
My mother had it. And my mother's mother had it. They both had the gift. Mm-hmm. And they always said I had it, but I never did. I never had it. You know, they told me what it was like. They told me all about it. But now that I got it, I don't think I want it. So do me a favor. Just go away. Find somebody else.
Somebody else? You're out of your mind.
Yeah, I'm getting there fast. Where exactly are you?
I'm standing right beside you.
Oh, you're standing right beside me?
Well, honey, we're right here.
Are you white?
What?
White.
You're white, aren't you?
Oh, God. You know what I think.
Yes, I'm gonna call the doctor right now.
I knew it. It's a white guy. Why me?
I don't know how I feel about this, but there's a big part of me that was like, you cowards, show Whoopi Goldberg holding Demi.
Yes! Show them embracing.
I was waiting for that moment. I actually kind of remembered it that way too. Like, I remember the hands, but in my memory, I remember it like, it's like they do, I remembered it like at like the camera was rotating around them. Like, you see it's her and Whoopi and she's like about to kiss her and the camera rotates behind Demi and then suddenly it's like Patrick Swayze. In my memory, that's how that scene went down.
That'd be cool. See, I like that.
Yeah, you only see her hands, mm-hmm. you know, which it's like, I get it. I mean, as in the scene, I get what's happening, but I feel like it would have like been much more powerful, like if you see like their faces together, like yeah. Whoopi in her face, and then maybe you can rotate around and suddenly it's Sam. Like, you
I bet if this happening. Were made not 1990, sure, they would have done that.
They might have, yeah. But yeah, and then of course Carl is back. And he's got a gun.
You interrupted the Righteous Brothers.
Can
we all agree that's like the sexiest song?
It is.
Oh, man.
And also emotional. Like, not just sexy, but like, oh, loving.
Refresh my memory. What was the song in Dirty Dancing? Like, the song?
The time of my life.
Right. Okay.
And we can't forget the Swayze.
She's like the wind. She's
the Swayze
like the
original.
Wind.
She's like the wind.
Those were the romance songs in Dirty Dancing, but the sexy
in
song
the
is
80s.
Hungry Eyes.
Yeah, that right. too.
Well, the thing is, I feel like...
Hungry Eyes!
Comparing those things, I feel like that's kind of a different vibe. But if we're comparing sexiness, I think I got to give the edge to the Righteous Brothers.
I agree. Well, because yeah. it's like, it's that slow dance sexiness. I mean, one, in the fact that we saw it in that... early scene where they are like, you know, about to hook up and stuff like that. But I think it plays sexy, it plays emotional. And it really, I think a big reason why it did get to me, I did cry real tears during the scene was the whole thing was, you know, when Sam's there as a ghost, he says like, I just wish I could touch you. And then the lyrics are I hunger for your touch. No. Like, I want, this is the only thing I want with like my whole heart. And it's not about fucking, it's about just holding,
just
like
holding each other. Yeah.
Your love. Oh, yeah. I'm super sincere mode this episode.
There were several times during the movie when we had to call EMS emergency services or whatever to come in the arena to like comfort you and like. All right,
can
let's
someone
get some
bring
ice.
Me a shock blanket?
Yeah, someone bring her a shock blanket. The movie had to be stopped several times. The audience was very upset.
I do fully like the thing that my dad would do, where like I'm like pretending I'm not crying, just like, and then like take off your glasses, just like. Oh, I'm not,
I don't know if y'all noticed, it was probably hard to hear or notice over the sounds of the revving engines. Again, I don't know if this is the best venue for a movie, but Jackie was full weeping.
I was going to say, I pointed out when we walked into the arena, Jackie, that there were several signs.
But I was already crying? Yeah.
Well, no, there were several signs posted, like when you walk into the stands, like there will be several warning. There are several highly emotional scenes in this movie. Do not enter if you're susceptible to
if
high
you
emotion.
Are have any nostalgia, if you have lived any life, if you have a mother, if you are on your period,
sensitive to gasoline fumes.
I don't mean to victim blame here, but this is kind of on you.
Okay? No, it is. I ignored the very clearly posted signs.
But yeah, this scene gets me too. But then Carl, that sweat bag, just like
that sweat
in.
Bag.
And this is, he's in full sweat now. Oh, super, more sweat than
he's
man.
He's so wet. He's got a gun. Yeah, he's like, this was earlier when he's kind of still in full sweat mode, but when he finds out from Molly, they're like, oh, it's Oda Mae and Rita Wilson. Rita Miller, and then like Molly, like he's faking like a stomach ache or something. Molly goes to get him some Pepto, and Swayze starts to like do some spooky ghost stuff around him. And Carl like grabs a knife, or he turns on the gas. He's like, I'll set the fucking place on fire. He grabs a knife. He's like, I'll cut her fucking throat. Like, do you think I won't?
Well, this is how you know how desperate he is. Well, I guess I was going to say, like, now he believes in ghosts. He's so desperate. But, like, I feel like if I saw that crazy stuff on the monitor, like, yeah. Sam,
murderer.
Sam, I'd be like, oh, my God.
And and Swayze's, like, punching him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's learned to touch stuff now, so he's, like, punching him in the gut. He's, like, zapping
him. But, again,
him.
Like, you got to imagine, this guy, I mean, I got the vibes that he was kind of ridden with guilt, too.
That,
you know
too,
what I mean?
I
he's
think.
Like,
for sure.
I was responsible for my friend's death.
I do deserve this haunting.
Yeah, exactly. Which I think is why, when those things happen, he's just like, my friend is haunting me right now.
I think he just feels like he doesn't have anywhere else to go. He's like, I don't have anything left. Have to have this check. I have to have this check or I'm going to die. I have nothing. My friend died for this check.
I put this all on the line.
Like, he needs this check to make it worth it.
And then all the hell of it, he's not even getting $4 million. He's only getting $85,000.
Well, it was 1990.
That was basically 4 million.
Well, and he doesn't die. That's a good perk.
That would be, his main goal, I think.
Like, $85,000 today would give you, like, an okay down payment on a house.
Maybe.
A house?
Maybe.
Oh, my God.
Maybe
a studio, maybe.
Maybe a townhouse at best, like in Detroit or something.
$85,000 is, like, securing you a year of rent and New York apartment.
A full year?
In Willy Lopez's apartment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As furnished in the movie. The climax, Oda Mae and Molly, you know, go out the fire escape. They go to like a other like unrenovated loft or other part of the building. It's following them with the gun. It's all dark and dusty. And Sam's all wiped out because he was just possessing Oda Mae, set up earlier. You know better than that. It wipes you out if you possess some.
Great script.
You're going to lose your ghost powers.
You're going to get all tired. Before anyone can be shot, Sam does.
That part is very intense. Like, he has that gun in Oda Mae's face. And, like, it's scary. Like, he's, like, deranged at this point.
Yeah, he's, like, grabbing her by the face. He like knocks Molly like on the ground. It's all is he's very sweaty. He's very serious, and then he gets full of glass. The one explicit death scene.
Surprisingly brutal, but earned. I think.
Yeah,
I think.
And it's. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. But one thing we were talking about. Oh, Sam's a banker. He sucks. He should have been got by the demons. Wahaha. But. what I noticed, you probably noticed too, you have a keener movie eye than me, I'm sure, all of you. But when Willy and when Sam, because he's, you know, chasing him, scaring him, but when they both die, he looks, like, surprised, and he, like, motions like, oh, I have to help you, I don't want you to die. And, you're like, Sam is a good person, that's why he didn't get, like... taken by the demons because he is a very good person. These people ruined his life and killed him, and he's still like, oh wait, I don't want you to die. I just wanted to.
Yeah, he's like, I just wanted you to stop. I didn't want you to get impaled by glass.
Because it's right before Carl's death, which is a kind of foreshadowing element we saw at the very beginning when Swayze's still alive, of the big old kind of hook and crane to be lifting, you know, statues or whatever into your loft. So we're at like a window where there's that kind of swinging crane with a hook on it, and it swings and it smashes
it's
through the window.
It's not just that it swings, it's so poetic, because Carl, I'm kind of joking, but kind of not, because Carl swings the thing at Swayze. So like, it's very like, in just as like the whole writ large thing is like, Carl is his own downfall. In this little moment, Carl is the
actual,
he kills himself.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to hit the ghost with a hook.
Oh my
bro.
God. It just, something just occurred to me. His death is set up too. In the beginning of the movie, when they're going through and they're looking at all the things, you see a guillotine.
Ah.
Like, he picks up like a guillotine, like wooden.
I never caught
that.
Wow.
Everything is set up. This movie deserved the
perfect
Oscar
movie.
For best screenplay.
But yeah, then
give
there's
it another Oscar.
Give it a couple more Oscars. Yeah, the glass shatters. It, like a couple pieces come down, and then it swings again, and the glass impales him. We see on screen. We see the blood. Like
we see the
up.
We see it.
And we then get another moment of you know, a ghost being like, "Oh, what's good, Sam? What?" And then he's like, "You're dead, dead."
And then just.
It's so, I thought it was very beautiful. He just goes like, "Oh, Carl," because, and he's like,
yeah.
And he's genuinely like sad. He's like, "I know what's going to happen and I'm sorry." Like,
I'm about to
like
see you get dragged to hell.
Like when he sees Willie die, he's all like, "You're dead, Willie."
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But with Carl, it's his friend. He's just like, "Oh, Carl."
Didn't have to be like this. Yeah. Carl.
So Carl, you could have, if you really wanted that car, you could have gotten like a loan or something, you know? I could have pulled some strings, man.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, not that Swayze would have like written him a $4 million check,
yeah.
But
yeah,
that like,
sure.
Imagine if at the beginning he went to his friend and he was like, "Hey, I need help." Like, it would have been different.
But again, I like that the movie, like, I feel like it, like a lesser movie, I think, would have set up that Carl flat out had like money problems or something. You know what I mean? But I think they do a good job of just setting up that he's kind of a little obsessed with wealth.
He's just
kind of
greedy and maybe a little social climby and you know, got wrapped up in some bad shit and then made a bunch of bad choices.
Yeah, man. Those demons still get me when they drag him off. Like, it's spooky stuff.
But immediately we go
to the other way. The pendulum shifts, and suddenly Molly, Demi Moore, can hear Sam. And it's just like, you know,
I was crying during this part too.
it's a great moment. Like, he gets like, it makes me wonder, like, because I was kind of thinking in this moment, I was thinking of the rules of the movie. You know what I mean? Like, do ghosts only get one chance? Like, when the door opens to go upstairs?
Yeah,
you know?
Of like he. Finished some unfinished business, like what are the idea, or just that he kind of as this this being of, you know, spirit or whatever you want to call it, just like got to a point where he's like, "Actually, I feel okay now, but like I can rest, I guess."
And what I like most about this moment, obviously we get the heartfelt moment where he kisses Demi Moore. But what I really like is that we get, because I think like that is the heart of the movie, their relationship. But I feel like the core of the movie, the main relationship is Sam and Otome.
Yeah.
And
I love that they
get a closing moment. You know what I mean?
Because they both they can both see him right before he leaves.
Yeah. Because that, to me, that's the main relationship in the movie. That's the relationship we see throughout the whole thing.
When they tell each other, "I'll miss you," like it's so good.
So I guess Mike wasn't too far off. He was spot on.
Anyway.
And such a great last shot where he just kind of goes into like this weird void. And I think it's really well done. You just see kind of like weird silhouettes.
Yeah.
You don't see actual people.
And just kind of
just
colors. And I think it is like, I don't know, as with a lot of this movie, like it is corny. It is, you know, graphics have aged. But it just is so sincere. And as I said, I'm very emotional about it. And that just, you know, Swayze actually being dead, just, you know, the image of like him aglow, like is angelic.
Yes.
Anyway, rest in peace, King.
R.I.P.
Well, let me ask. I was too enveloped in the movie to look over to see how you were feeling. But Mike, in this moment, or really, was there any moment where you got teary eyed?
There was not.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Well, no, that's fine.
I'm a weird crier. With
Heart
movies.
Of lead.
I mean, I'll cry.
I've seen you cry at movies, but
yeah, no, this one didn't get me. Maybe I could see it being a second time cry though.
Fair.
Okay.
I was like,
well, 3 out of 4 cries ain't too bad for a movie.
No. I was a little like just thrown because I thought this movie was going to be so different. So I think that
you
was
still waiting for the true, haunted yeah. house. Like, when are they going to get to the haunted house?
When is he going to start haunting a house? God.
But yeah, I did like it a lot, and I would recommend this to those out in the wastes. If you weren't able to make it to the Hot Day of Summer Film Fest, I think this is a good movie. And I think like the cool thing about this movie is it's I don't know if I've ever seen a movie maybe Dirty Dancing too. I don't know if I've ever seen a movie that's quite like it, where it just has such a mix of genres, and it is a in that way like a fun summer movie. Like
it
you
is.
Throw this on in the dog
laugh,
days of summer.
You cry.
Put it on a projector while you're in the pool or something.
It does the mixing very well, because sometimes like the comedy can cheapen the drama, but I think it does it very, very well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you can laugh, you can cry, there's thrills, there's spills. It's a great movie.
And I gotta say, I think Whoopi fully deserved her Oscar for this. It was a good supporting actress win. And again, like I could see why Ghost was the number one like grossing movie that year. Like it was by a big margin too. Like, so to kind of steal a bit from another popular movie podcast, let's look at the box office for 1990.
Oh, sure.
So as I said, this was a pretty stacked year for movies. Ghost was number one with 205 million domestic. And there was a pretty big margin between this and the number two movie, which we have also reviewed on this podcast. Mm. A romantic comedy.
Oh, it was
Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman had 170, and then behind that was Home Alone with 143, and then another big movie, also New York set.
Not Home Alone. I guess Home Alone Chicago.
First one, Chicago.
It's a movie that involves delivering a pizza to a storm grate.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
There's some turtles.
And number five was Hunt for Red October, and then Total Recall, Die Hard 2, Driving Miss Daisy, Dick Tracy, and Back to the Future Part 3.
What a time.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles definitely should have beaten Pretty Woman for just saying.
Yeah.
Well, that movie has an interesting factoid. It was actually, I think for a
Turtles?
Long time, I think for a long time until Blair Witch Project, I want to say, it was the highest grossing independent film ever made.
I love that. Oh, what's my favorite indie movie?
Well, it was either independent or like highest budget to gross ratio.
So I guess you could say ever since I was a kid, I've loved independent cinema.
I've often enjoyed independent cinema.
But a good
cinema.
Year at the movies. And like I said, like Ghost kind of...
A fun year at the movies. Especially fun.
The movies. Good mix of movies. And like this was kind of the Titanic of his day. Like romance, but almost kind of had... But also had like kind of some action in there too. And suspense. Like I think Ghost has it all.
It does. It does have it all.
It's needless to say, recommend from me.
And it has Patrick Swayze. Recommend.
And it's got the Swayzeosaurus Rex.
And guess
you can't
what?
Deny that.
That is... Patrick Swayze is all.
That's all you need.
All you need. Well, Swayze in the
you?
Mix.
So it sounds like recommends all across the board?
Yes.
Yes. Hey, all you listeners, you want to feel crazy in a very good way?
For Swayze.
Yeah, I love this movie. I'll watch it like 10 more times and cry today.
Oh, Swayze.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to say. That's what I'm going to sing.
Well, that's going to do it for this this installment of the Hot Dave's Fun Summer Film Fest Swayzeosaurus edition. We will return with Swayze though. Swayze's not done. Swayze has one more triumphant return in his pocket for the Summer Film Fest. But we will get to that later. But that'll do it for this episode, folks. Get off my train!
You like trains!
Thank you. ask about the sweater she knitted in the closet that's too big.
It just asked me to remind you of the sweater that's in the closet that you knitted is too big. Four sizes. Hey, you hear me talking to you?
I hear you.
Ah, oh, shut up. Nobody's talking to you.
Didn't you ever hear of a phone?
Wanna kiss my butt? I'm not gonna stay down here all day.
Thank God.
Aw, oh, man, shut up. Molly! I'm gonna count to three and then I'm out of here. One, two, three.